In the great hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman. Wonder Woman. Batman. Aquaman. And those three junior super friends, Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
I saw a Tyler Perry movie.
This is the best movie.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Amy Williams. This is PCP Podcast, episode 042. Us talking about classic comic cartoons. I'm sitting here with, I guess, your regular PCP compliment. For the time being, we've had some scheduling problems.
Oh, we haven't.
What?
No.
Joby's about to leave forever!
And Josiah's working!
The pole. Jesus.
No, he's actually dead.
That's not... I was lacking the Jesus part.
Yeah. Why? Lord. Why?
Yeah, we need to get a soundbite of that.
Oh, okay. We'll just isolate one and do that. Yeah. It'll be like he never left.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with Marcus Ellison.
Hola.
He's barely Spanish.
Marcus
Ellison.
Ooh. Are you jelly?
They don't understand.
La quinta in. Sorry.
And Chico McCone.
Machete. It's machete, all right?
This is our all-Spanish episode. We're just going to do the entire thing in Espanol.
Let me get my Jordache jeans.
If you like English, press 2 right now. Okay, so you picked English. So
you dialed 2 for English.
You dialed 2 for 300.
Welcome to Movie Phone.
Hi there. My name is Avery Williams. Would you like to see a movie?
You dialed 1 for Glee in 3D. Thank you.
Yeah, you dialed...
Fuck!
Yeah, back on track. Someone plug the show.
Oh! It's my return to form.
Not really.
So we have the Tumblr,
what go, Bradley
which
Cooper?
Is... PCP Lovers of Nothing. What's wrong with Bradley Cooper?
No, I'm just saying, face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've returned, returned to that position, apparently.
Yeah.
But,
position.
We've got the Tumblr.
Hey, for everyone who sends us money, you can see a knockout, a brawl out fight between, that didn't come out right, a knockdown, drag no out. Holds bar fight between
Slobber
Marcus
knocker.
And Jovi for the face roll.
Oh, man, I want to lose.
Hey, you never know.
I mean, as long as you end up face down, hips up, that would be bad.
No ground to pound.
Can I percolate?
In your own private time. Let's start the show.
And only in Baltimore.
We have the Tumblr, which is pcplovers.anonymous.tumblr.com, which is directly linked up with the iTunes. Just look up Shigao and
Shigao.
Subscribe. Then we have the email, which is welovepcp@yahoo.com. Y'all ain't going to send us no emails anyways. So we've got the Facebook, which is an alternative pop culture podcast. Like us. And then we have the Twitter.
Twitter.
Avery's staring at me.
Which is?
Oh, we love PCP.
4 for 4.
No, what?
I said 4 for 4.
Or I thought you were saying 4 for 4, like, we love PCP 4 for 4.
I thought you were saying 4 for 4.
I know. I thought
we pressed 2 for English.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. And if you have to be on spill, look up SHEGAW. Well, actually, if you're listening to it right now, you probably already are. And you can see a bunch of our past episodes. And we'll have all the blog posting up there, too.
And Spiel's got a great community, so
you know, good folk.
Good site.
Yeah, love them.
You've just been plugged.
We have? Okay. So yeah, this is our classic comic cartoons episode, which is us doing some nostalgia digging, and we're going to be exploring some of the cartoons based on comic book properties from the last, I'm going to say, 50 years.
Not including the last 10 years, for the most
yes.
part.
Half of these we weren't even old enough to see.
Yeah, the cutoff for this conversation will be 2000. And we're not including any of the Bruce Timm produced indirected DC animations.
Oh, man!
Because that's an entirely different
That's an episode for itself. which you can look forward to.
Bing. You done yet?
No.
Okay. So yeah, we should start this puppy off in the 80s?
I think pre-80s. I didn't even know tell
why call it a puppy?
Because I killed a puppy. Oh. I killed it with kittens.
He beats it with kittens.
So yeah, what's interesting with comic cartoons is that a lot of these predate us tremendously. I mean, the first ones came out in the 60s, and considering that comics only started the medium, I'm going to say the late 40s.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had some stars in the 20s or so, you know, roughly around there. But like, as far as like being a mainstay as part of the people's pop culture, yeah, I'll say 40. Yeah.
I mean, the first one, one of the more famous ones are those old Superman cartoons.
Yeah, the Action Comics series and yep. stuff like that, yeah.
Which they show them on Cartoon Network all the time during that, like that Tex Avery late night block that they always had.
Yeah. Also, my dad had a bunch of random videotapes of them. That's how I saw them.
Yeah. True. So, I mean, in the 80s, pre-80s, were there any of the cartoons that jumped out to you specifically?
I mean, of course, the original Superman cartoon stood out because it was the first superhero cartoon ever, I think, right?
From a comic book property, yeah.
And plus, Audie and I were talking about this before. Seeing Superman punch lasers, kind of awesome. I don't know right? why, but it's a nifty little
and he
thing.
Did it without lights. He did it without wristbands, like Wonder Woman.
Yeah, no, right? Pew 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 pew. Also, Clark Kent could really pull off a fedora.
Wow,
sorry,
that was really misogynistic. No, I'm joking.
What?
Like they're tiny little. Like come on.
No, that's how lasers sound when they ricochet off of.
That's how bullets sound. When they ricochet off the wristbands.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
Who says tomato?
Shut up.
Tom Ado.
I see what you did there. But yeah, also it kind of stood out to me because by that time I was already into like the Bruce Timm Superman. And it was weird to see Superman not fly.
Well, yeah, they were going on the original description, the Siegel and Feaster.
Taller than a
classic monster. Faster than a speeding bullet.
Yeah.
More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single
bound.
Whip! It's a bird! It's a plane!
It's Superman!
And you get to the horse.
Yeah. And it's like, you know what? It really stuck. I knew that song before I knew the Horner song.
Yep. I remember that one episode where he was doing, but he had like these two like, what was it? Electric wires, and he had to like repower something.
Oh yeah, you saw like the electricity
flow through his body. Connect the current.
Prelude to Electric Superman.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. But I mean, the biggest superhero cartoon of that mid 80s, pre-80s is that the Super Friends.
Yeah.
Which is
minority. Team.
They did become minority for a while. That's before. No, the Super Friends. It's
meanwhile really, at the Legion.
Meanwhile, back in the other room,
Solomon Grundy wore pants too.
Yeah,
I love
Super Friends was DC really because Marvel at the time was still I want to say
fledgling. I guess
fledgling,
sort of
DC. Yeah, they really were.
They had.
I think they were still timely in the 40s.
They were still timely. Yeah, but yeah. DC kind of had a lock on this whole superhero.
Yeah, so and they had the Justice League. They had all these properties. And they because of the Warner Brothers thing, I think they were still at Warner at that time.
Warner Brothers and
they had an easier time getting out those properties. And when they wanted to promote something, they threw out the Super Friends, which is probably the most I want to say worst thing that happened to superheroes in a long time.
Well,
the problem with Super Friends was written for children and not written well.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to be Super Volt. You say call you black folk, I say why don't we call you white bitch?
that's one of the problems. Like it doesn't hold up now because of how hokey it holds up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, certain things from like those old Superman cartoons outside like that stick of them hold up.
Those were, but like at the point at which you bring in the Wonder Twins and a monkey, that's where you're done completely as far as the Super Friends.
Well, yeah, the Super Friends were
one always turned into water.
Where it was Batman, Superman, Robin, Wonder Woman. Aquaman, and then they had Wendy and Marvin, who had the unique pleasure of showing up in comics about 5 years ago and then getting mauled by Wonder Dog.
Thank goodness.
Now Marvin's a ghost and Wendy's in a wheelchair.
What the
f- That's not canon.
How's that for Wonder Twins? Sorry.
I wonder how we got here.
That's not the Wonder Twins. And it was prone... It was also prone to... Because it wasn't really well written, and the writers had no idea what to do with any of the characters who weren't Batman or Superman and Wonder Woman. So you had Aquaman pretty much being completely useless on the show.
Like,
that's where the public's conception about Aquaman comes from.
That just reminds me of that episode of Robot Chicken where they were doing, like, what was it, real-world superheroes or whatever.
Yeah.
And, Aquaman was continually complaining about how he needed something to do, and everybody just kept making fun of him the entire time. And he was like talking to a fish tank or something like that.
Answer me, you little whores!
Troll home.
Yeah, like, I mean, those are funny and all, but it's one of those things where, as an Aquaman fan,
you're the king of the sea.
Yeah,
it's really infuriating. And then,
I mean, I won't lie, when being growing up and not really knowing a whole lot about Aquaman, I thought he was useless too.
I mean, because he had that Luke Skywalker haircut and that like orange that
stupid shirt.
Eventually, they added the Wonder Twins. I guess after Wendy and Marvin didn't really work, I'm not sure what happened with that. And the Wonder Twins are an interesting idea, horribly butchered by the fact that the writers did not know how to write these characters. So you had one person.
What's something that would be more interesting during that time period?
Okay, one person always. Okay, one person can turn into any type of water. One person can turn into any type of animal, and only when they touch, when their twin powers activate.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that one who always turned into water turned into something innocuous, like a bucket of water. Ice water.
And I mean, it's something. How about
tidal wave?
It's something that works. It is something that really works in a hokey manner, though. Like nowadays, who do you think? Like, do you really think people would like really be up in arms about Wonder Twins? Like,
I didn't want to talk about the Bruce Timm stuff, but Bruce Timm co-opted the Wonder Twins later on when they did their sort of a tribute to the Super Friends era of cartoons, and they made a point to say that, like, what were the names?
I forget. Like, you're talking about
Xander and something.
You're talking about the one. You're talking about the episode with Wind Dragon.
Yeah. They made a point of like, he could turn into any type of water. That's actually,
and he can actually, he's flooding the place.
I know that they can be better. Just like, you know, when they wrote Aquaman wrong, he could be better. But it's just something that Aquaman can hold up now.
Well, and he
just, Wonder Twin just kind of.
Aquaman doesn't need to have a mullet and a claw hand either. It's like, he was good back then, but the way they presented him was like,
He was kind of a dick, though. Silver Age Aquaman was kind of a dick.
He is
like,
an a-hole,
You know what I mean? Like when the Detroit era of the Justice League, he treated those people so bad.
The Detroit era of the Justice League?
It's not their finest hour.
No.
Yeah. And then with the... Eventually, they moved on from the whole Super Friends with the Wonder Twins, sort of the, I want to say... Affirmative action snuck in.
Apache Chief.
And we got three or four characters, minority characters, who were, I guess, just really bad racial stereotypes.
Affirmative action team.
Nunchuck.
Apache Chief, Black Vulcan.
Black.
Who I didn't really understand what I needed when they had Black Lightning.
Black Lightning. It's like, why co-op that?
Black Lightning.
Granted, that's what Static Shock is, but still.
Yeah, I'm really tired of seeing a black character with electric powers.
That's the only thing we can do.
That's how
his hair stands up. Like,
that's what I was about to say.
Then we had the Wind Samurai, and I'm pretty sure there was this Mexican dude on the team as well.
There was?
Probably. Maybe. But the problem with those characters weren't like they had legitimate powers that let them hold their own.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem with those characters were, for some retarded reason, they had whatever power they needed to solve a situation.
It's like, we need Black Vulcan now. The power's out.
No, like,
we
Black,
need
Black Vulcan.
There's a cat
like,
stuck in a tree. Apache Chief.
Well, don't worry. I can mold my lightning into a car that we can drive.
Wait, what?
Let's drive a lightning car.
They would do crap like that.
How is this happening right now?
Yeah, it was like, back to the Bruce Timm episode that was parodying the Super Friends.
We're
like,
going to talk about that.
I'm sorry. It's a compare and contrast.
That's so good.
It's like when they did that episode, like the Wind Dragon character suddenly learned he can create ice. And
it's like this weird sub mutation or something like that.
No, it's not like something like it was making fun of the fact that those characters can do whatever
anything.
They need at
the time.
They're
Deus Ex Machina. Like,
yeah, it was weird. Ass mafia. And then at some point, it became Challengers of the.
It became like a basically a new series. Yeah, you're right.
It, Super Friends evolved into Challengers of the
Legion. It's like an actual team against the Legion of Doom or whatever like that, right?
Oh yeah. But then there was a new series called Challengers of something, and it featured sort of like characters like Firestorm and Cyborg.
Yeah. That's what. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember.
I didn't know that was the name of.
Yeah, and then I do remember during the pre-80s. I'm gonna lie to them, but watching. The Aquaman Superman Hour.
Never even seen it.
Aqualad. It's like
it used to be on like right on Scooby Doo was on like for like but when I watched it
always riding the giant seahorses.
Yeah, so it's like have you seen an actual seahorse
fighting pirates?
They're smaller than that microphones are.
And it also had the Teen Titans episode, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I recall that one vaguely. That was my first exposure to the Teen Titans. Period. So yeah,
which they all had god awful costumes. The original Teen Titans. They all looked red.
The image I remember
from that episode, it's like looking at them from the top up, all you saw was red.
Red, yeah.
And Wally's black hair for some reason.
Did he have black hair?
Yeah. On that show, he had black hair.
Man, I have repressed memories.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to take another, a time machine, and we're going to the actual 80s.
Oh, yeah.
To the TARDIS.
When Robin's booty shorts were on.
That's weird. No place to hide. No place to run. No place to run. The mutant age has now begun.
That Plastic Man comedy adventure show.
That's my first taste of Plastic Man as a character.
Ew. I was reading Amazon reviews and like I was for a cable, and someone actually had the audacity to bring up, I don't like the smell.
Well,
I don't give a. It's like, what is that?
I don't like the
smell. Smell-o-vision?
I don't like
Spike did 4D.
Aromascope.
Yeah.
You say 4D?
Yeah, it's in aromascope.
Oh my god.
Smell-o-vision.
Wait, how is that 4D?
So you can smell how much of a shit it is.
That's what 4D was time.
Yeah.
Then 5D was imagination.
Whoa. Well, my man. Why does it make me think of that episode of Adventure Time?
Imagine Inception in 5D.
It was in 5D.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, well, back to the 80s of classic comic cartoons.
Yes.
This is where Marvel actually started getting into the cartoon game and started producing, I want to say, television.
Yeah.
Their big
sound
one, which...
I about to say shit.
Well, comparatively, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, the big one that showed... The big first showing was their Spider-Man cartoon, which gave us the
catchy...
That's not it.
Oh.
That wasn't the theme song?
No, the original Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the way it started.
But you were doing the Amazing Friends one.
Oh!
No, I wasn't. Sure,
you really were. You really were.
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
I love that theme song. Sorry.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
Which, to a certain extent, was... I don't look fondly back on that show outside
of... It produces great GIFs.
GIFs on Tumblr.
Booga booga.
Where the white woman at?
That's my favorite one.
Wait, what?
Mushy, mushy. Spider-Man did too.
It's like, what am I swinging?
Because he's white.
It's like, what am I swinging off of?
Nothing. I know, he awesome. Shot webs into...
Nothingness. It's like, I'm in a park, and he shoots webbing. I'm like, there aren't any trees. Like, what is that?
I'm in the middle of the desert. I gotta get out of here.
And his webbing can do pretty much anything.
Yep.
It's like boxing gloves. Can Car!
Spider-Man, the original Green Lantern.
Well, not really.
I know.
Yeah, and then that eventually evolved into Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Comparatively, ages a lot better.
Never has a rapper like MF Doom sampled so much.
I love Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Well, the entire section of it was that they wanted to They wanted Spider-Man to face off against more villains outside of his classic rogues.
Yeah.
And to do that, they decided to bring in, I guess, other characters from the Marvel Universe. And they decided that...
Because
Bobby Drake and...
popular.
And the Human Torch were popular enough characters at the time who had pretty much had the exact same personality.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man...
They mesh well.
To see what... Out like a bounce of ideas.
Beautiful friendship between Spider-Man and Iceman.
They couldn't get the rights to use Human Torch because of some litigation with the Fantastic Four thing they were trying
apparently,
to do
at
the
same time. Well, that was solely Stan Lee on that one.
So they decided to get Fire.
Well, they created Firestar. My only problem with her character is that if you didn't know who Firestar was and you just watched that show, you would assume it was Mary Jane.
Ha! Oh, yeah. You know what? I never thought about that.
I didn't think about that either.
So just now. Wow. I guess. Huh. Jeez.
How about that?
You just destroyed my entire childhood.
Mine's still intact.
Because I had cable.
Shut up. At least I got chicken.
I still remember that van.
You guys okay?
There are no windows.
You guys okay?
Yeah, he's over there too.
I mean, thoughts on Spider-Man and his main friends?
Awesome!
I love that show.
For sampling.
No, I mean, I legit enjoyed the show. Like, I mean, and the designs of them are of a lot of the characters are the ones that we, you know,
it's nostalgically ridiculous, but still really.
Like, I like how they live in Peter's Aunt May's house.
Yeah.
As boarders, they have a secret crime lab in the room. And,
yeah.
Given to them by Tony Stark.
Which makes absolutely no sense.
I mean, granted, it's the '80s, so I'm just like, who am I? I mean, I'm not gonna secret layers, things like that. We're all really into that. So it's just like, I think we're just more easy to take for that.
And also, it had the greatest Iceman transformation of all time.
Yeah. you know how to touch me.
And then Firestar, lights on fire. Peter Parker, actually,
I think. Like, come on, Peter. Like, Iceman, it's a process.
It's like, seriously, I had to sew this thing. You are just. Where did Firestar get her outfit from? It's like
radioactive waves.
No one knows.
Microwave.
It's like, really? Bobby, you're wearing trunks and are frozen. I don't know how that works.
First of all, what happens is he freezes the outer layer of his clothing and he's wearing the trunks under it. So when he breaks out the ice, the clothes go with it and you just got the ice up trunks.
Yeah.
That is my fan assumption.
So he's got frozen balls the whole time.
Apparently.
He's got blue balls.
Well, but Iceman is not.
He's got Fruit of the Loom on. It protects his balls.
Cotton is the fabric of our lives. Seriously, Cotton, take it.
But the episode that keeps popping up into my head is the origin of Firestar for some reason.
Which one was that? Like, what was the actual origin in that one?
I know she was bullied as a younger child because she was a mutant, I believe, because she had the powers
from mutant
that came out around a young
age. In the 80s?
In the 80s?
You mean she was black?
Those were the only mutants in the 80s.
Seriously.
I'm sorry.
You see them haircuts?
Oh, God. What are
you talking about? Well, they want to talk to you off.
What haircut?
Exactly.
Shut up. Go back to where you came from.
Okay.
South Kakalaki.
Got off of the wrong foot.
Our bad. But honestly, I just thought, like, fun show. Everything.
You know who got off on the wrong foot? Kunta Kinte.
Stop that.
You know what?
Moving on. Also in the 80s.
Fun show. Always had it at the end.
Yeah,
so,
also,
yeah.
There was an Incredible Hulk show.
Yes.
I don't think I have any vague recollection of that.
Yeah. I don't remember it.
I did actually watch like the Bill Bixby one, but I didn't watch. But I didn't watch this cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. There was also a Superman cartoon at the time, which predates the Bruce Timm stuff.
Yes.
Okay, I don't even remember.
It's more of a Silver Age kind of.
Yeah,
Idea.
I have seen that.
He can fly.
Yeah. That type of Superman.
He can fly in space.
I'm gonna go to the sun real quick. I'll be right back.
I mean, you know, another big thing in the 80s was a pilot for an X-Men cartoon called X-Men, Pride of the X-Men. which is only famous for having an Australian Wolverine.
Howdy, doll. One piece of fruit?
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
have come in and realized it was the backdoor pilot for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Pretty much.
And now it all makes sense. Except we still need to explain why it's so tall.
And also...
Thank you.
Yeah, plus... Did Dingo really eat that baby?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes,
hey.
It did.
Yes, it did.
That's a sad part. Meryl Streep was fantastic. Yeah.
Anyway, I mean... What? There's not, what?
You never heard a dingo ate a baby.
Where'd that come from?
A dingo ate a woman's baby, and they thought that she was making it up.
So they made a joke out of it.
No, it turned into a film, and
they turned into a film, and Meryl Streep's cry of pain, "A dingo ate my baby."
Dingo ate my baby.
Yeah.
It became a medic.
But she didn't want to cry about it. She didn't want to she was trying to be like strong for it, but they kept telling her, she's not crying about it. Why are we talking about this right now?
Yeah, so I mean, there's nothing really, I want to say,
not terribly remarkable.
Well, there's nothing remarkable about the Pride of the X-Men outside that Wolverine joke.
The only thing all I remember seeing is the first episode.
Because there was it was a pilot.
It was a pilot.
They only made that one episode.
Yeah, there it is.
And then they had to downgrade Wolverine, making Canadian.
Well, he was always Canadian.
Wow.
Australian Canadian?
How's Canada a downgrade?
What kind of black magic?
Okay. Is Canada a downgrade from Australia?
I was really just making a Canada joke.
Australia is a country.
That's half our demographic. Anyway,
also.
Lie.
Australia is
Bieber listens to us? Because you know Justin Bieber is Canada, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to take another TARDIS trip into the future, into the 90s.
Are you doing Immigrant Song?
No. See, I did something completely different. That was more like sci-fi music. Like,
you weren't doing it right.
Shut up, Space Ghost!
Mentalk! That's the Mind Taker!
I thought he was doing Doctor Who.
Huh.
Watch the skies coming at you. A hero of metal hue. He locks horns with disaster.
Back to the TARDIS trip.
You say TARDIS?
TARDIS.
Oh.
Doc 2 reference.
Gotcha.
Weird way of saying tortoise.
What are you, Mark Wahlberg now?
Say hello to your mother for me.
Yeah. Okay, so the...
I was in the happening.
We're in the 90s of classic comic cartoons.
Yay!
And one of them that stand out to me, because of how weird it was, is the Marvel Action Hour.
Oh,
which
Lord.
Was weird because they had that Thing cartoon where it was just this...
Just a Thing.
It was just a Thing cartoon, but he wasn't. Was he Ben Grimm? I don't think he was.
Yancy.
But he had the ring, and he would say, "Thing ring, do your thing," and he turned to the Thing and fight crime.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Yep.
Wait, did he rap in that too?
No, oh, God.
Oh no, that was the movie. Sorry.
Does anybody remember going off on a tangent real quick from Fantastic Four? Does anybody remember that song that Johnny Blaze did? Flame On or something.
Johnny Blaze or.
Johnny Storm?
Johnny Storm, wow. Johnny Storm.
That's Ghost Rider.
He's like, Flame On.
No, I don't remember the song.
Was that a gay club?
It was in the Fantastic Four cartoon. He did like
The Fantastic Four cartoon.
Yeah, he did like a song.
Maybe.
I vaguely do, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, the problem.
Bing Ring, do your thing.
I wish somebody actually made a song out of
Bing
that.
Bing Ring, do your thing. Like,
I remember watching it, like, having no context for the Fantastic Four.
And it should
being
be
like,
sung
this
by
just
the Joker and the Pussycat.
Thing fingering.
The problem with the concept of that cartoon was that it took away what made Ben Grimm a compelling character, the fact that he was this monstrous thing.
And hated, and it was stuck as one. Like,
yeah, he was this normal kid, just, oh, it's danger. Thing ring, do your thing.
Like, I remember there were points in which, Reed heals him for a moment once in a while, and he can kind of turn it off and on, but it was just like, still, like,
it's weird.
It's just weird.
But then, I mean, then we're going to jump in. The meat of the 90s was really run by a combination of Marvel and DC.
Yep.
But like we said, the DC stuff was all tied up in the DCAU animation.
Yes, it was.
And so a lot of this stuff is going to be more Marvel and, I guess, other independent comic books that did come out at the time.
Yes.
Well, one of the first is the X-Men cartoon, which...
The first cartoon drama.
I hate that cartoon. So much.
It's well documented, but I don't give a damn.
It has not aged well. I'll concede that.
It's not even aging well.
No, it has not aged well, though. The animation is just...
The only thing that makes it age well is the parodies.
fair enough. Oh, you mean the dubs? Yeah. Over, yeah. Like,
well,
yeah.
My biggest problem with this X-Men cartoon was that the characterization of the X-Men, because this is everyone's first taste of the X-Men, like a lot of I know a lot of people who got into comics because
of the X-Men.
Because of these cartoons, especially the X-Men one. But because of that, their sort of, I want to say, views of certain characters are skewed.
For example,
Cyclops. This show.
Stick in the mud.
Well, yeah, he was a perennial stick in the mud.
Super square
in that cartoon. I've had conversations with people who are like, I'm talking about my favorite X-Men, and they're like, I hate Cyclops. Why? Because in the X-Men cartoon, he was a douche. And I'm like, that was the cartoon.
Well, he wasn't so much a douche as he was just a
stick in the mud. Like, he was
square.
It just annoyed me. It was just.
And Jean Grey. And Jean Grey is just. I don't know what it is about Cyclops.
Also, they used the Jim Lee 90s X-Men costumes, and for the most part, they worked on a lot of characters.
Yeah.
Like except Rogue. Love Rogue, though.
Except for Jean Grey, whose weird flesh-colored costume just really
didn't. I don't know what that was with the flesh and the booties and the whatever that shoulder, that not quite.
It just looked
cause
weird.
Because it was triangular, and it's like, it covered half her boobs, which were huge.
Half boobs.
Yeah. Storm, however, was just like, dang.
Which is why
I call upon the power of the heavens.
I remember they did the crossover.
That was back. Every female. Well, no, okay, not every, but a lot of females in the X-Men cartoon had big hair.
Rogue, it worked.
But Storm.
Storm is like because of the white out eyes and everything like that.
It's the fact that she's sort of this African Earth Mother character. Why would she cut her hair?
Yeah,
that's right.
And of course,
it's not weave.
Gaia.
Yeah, and I'm partial.
That's
to that.
Not weave.
That was before weave was invented.
It's
not what it looks like.
Yeah. Ain't no lace front and all this.
Oh God.
Yeah, I blame him for telling me what that was.
Yeah, I know.
You hear lace front, I'm like, that sounds fun. Nope.
I used to think lace front was lingerie.
Thank you.
How wrong
seriously,
I was.
Seriously, right?
Yeah. How wrong I was.
But yeah, but we're talking, like, I love the way, that's my favorite version of Beast.
Morph is dead!
True. Yeah, that was.
One of my biggest problems with X-Men cartoons, specifically the ones that focus on Wolverine, is that because of the main function of Wolverine's power is this sort of offensive, bloody thing. He's got knives coming off his hands.
Yeah.
And you can't make it a bloody curtain.
And you can't even use that to any
satisfying degree. Yeah, there was no blood in that cartoon, so he was kind of like...
Did they even have like a gun safety episode or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to see Wolverine cut something, he'd cut like a wall or a robot.
Or he'd do like the whole...
Cut them robots, he cut them up good.
He did cut them up good. But like
and Cyclops blasted him off a building. Let's not talk about that.
He's an optic blast. Like, can cut the blast, fine. Slicing, no. Because I remember one time he went up to a dude, put his fist beneath his chin, did the blades on the side of it. And there was an episode. There was one episode which they did make him flip somebody off. I recall that. And they never played it again.
Yes. My thing about the. I have a recurring nightmare about this episode. Where I think it was the Blob, and apparently he had like a mouth in his stomach.
Yeah.
And he was trying to eat somebody.
Are you talking about Ninja Turtle?
No, he punched someone and they got stuck in there. And he tried to bring him in, right?
Yeah, I was like, oh,
feed me.
Seymour?
That was weird.
I remember the episode where Jubilee died. That was really, really sad.
Whoa. Well, I. Yeah, that was.
There was an episode where Jubilee died?
Or she. Like, yeah, yeah. Wasn't there? Or when she, like. Dead it was like she was with Wolverine or something, and like.
Oh, no surprise.
I don't remember the full. Thing of the episode, I just remember Jubilee died or something happened to her.
Probably something happened to her.
It's definitely something happened to her because I remember.
Only Morph is dead.
It's funny because this
not really.
The one thing I'll take out of this show is that like it gave Jubilee that sort of public consciousness. Is that that's one of the weird things about the X-Men cartoons.
She had the Bret Hart glasses on.
The X-Men cartoons that would come off later and that they would always go back to Kitty Pryde, and a lot of people who grew up in this era were like, where's Jubilee?
Exactly. Yeah. Jubilee was the Kitty Pryde.
Of the 90s.
Yeah.
Although,
her jacket
Did you guys watch...
Like a raincoat, bitch.
Did you guys watch the X-Men series all the way through? Like, when they changed animation studios?
I didn't care.
I barely
remember. I love the X-Men.
I didn't care.
Okay, because I did watch it all the way, and it ends with basically, for some reason, Professor Xavier is dying, and Lalandra...
Yeah.
From the Shi'ar Empire. Basically says, I can heal him, but he can never come back. So...
That makes no sense.
So she... Basically, she's
like, I actually kind of remember that.
Yeah. And basically, she takes him and goes away to space. And they all have their, like, you know, crying goodbye. And this is, like, in a postseason where they change animation studios or something like that. I'm just like, I have no idea what's going on with all this. So, yeah. Let's go.
Mutant. mutant. You're a mutant.
And when Jean Grey died, that was a definitive moment.
Well, they blatantly just did the Dark Phoenix saga.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they had that terrible text the way they write it over.
Without Dazzler or Kitty Pryde.
No, Dazzler was in an episode where she thought Jean thought Scott was cheating on her.
But they took out that part of the Dark. Like, a lot of people think the Dark Phoenix saga is just a whole Phoenix thing. It's actually really long.
It is, yeah. Believe it or not, it actually was more than the
they 4 or 5. They even go into space.
With the star jammers and all that stuff. Yep.
Scott's father.
Though I can't, like, unfortunately, I can't watch the original cartoon anymore sometimes. Especially an episode when the Juggernaut's in it. Because I can't hear his voice anymore.
The one with the,
How you doing, Chuck?
I can't hear his voice anymore. When
they went to the, Cassidy Manor.
Yeah.
In stately Ireland.
and Gladiator just kind of, like, pones him or whatever like that.
Yeah.
So, also, one thing I found interesting when I was doing some research for this thing is that Marvel apparently was trying to do, before the DC came in and did their DCAU, sort of a conjoined universe for all the cartoons.
Right.
Oh. All of them shared all of the cartoons shared a continuity with each other.
New York.
Well, it wasn't the New York
thing. I'm kidding.
But they literally shared the cartoons. So, like, everything moves seamlessly into each other.
Right.
Like, the next one that showed up on their schedule was the Iron Man cartoon.
Right.
Which I actually really, really loved.
Yeah.
I never really watched
it. I remember I was really into the show for a while, and then, like,
Tony Stark... back when I cared about Tony Stark.
Yeah, but there was a point which apparently Tony Stark betrayed everybody, and everyone just kind
of... What else is new?
All the side characters kind of turned on him.
What I liked about the Iron Man show was that halfway through it, it stopped being about Iron Man and became Force Works.
Exactly. It's just like... it had a whole bunch of characters.
Hawkeye, War Machine, Scarlet Witch.
War Machine...
The second Spider-Woman. What I like is that Tony was dating both Scarlet Witch and the second Spider-Woman at the same time.
Like, wow.
And I thought nothing of it.
Right?
See, sometimes you gotta take pussy like Peppy.
Bro! No. Not like that. And then next up, we have Fantastic Four.
The Fantastic Four cartoon. Yeah.
There are two versions of that Fantastic Four series, though. White gloves, no white gloves. Which is like...
gloves just never look good to
me. Well, no, because like one was like, they're campy. They're
trying to give like a...
They had the landlady. What was her name? I don't remember.
Usher at church.
What?
White gloves.
It reminds me of an usher at church.
Sometimes they wear white gloves.
Oh, an usher at church.
Yeah. Usher the singer.
Raymond.
No. What?
What? Everybody loves Clutch Plate.
Pass the Gitmo Cash.
I mean, the Fantastic Four one wasn't that sort of... didn't stand out.
Yeah, not really.
It was campy at one. There was always... the Skrulls were always... you know, it was always the Skrulls that was basically the bad guys. But
then I was dreaming that song.
Yeah.
I hope I wasn't.
That's really bad.
Well, that just made me sound weird.
Yeah, sorry.
That music was kind of haunting.
Well, like, a bit of the change. Well, you're talking about the sing song you want, or the one where they... okay.
The sing song.
Okay, well, when they actually changed... oh, gosh, that animation was terrible. They had the book thing. And, yeah. But then they changed, like, from the aesthetic of that cartoon, of, like, it's not with Stanley with a little pop-up head, like, or going in every time. Right. Or it's not where they're, like, doing the, oh, our origin story was, like, we're talking about it on a talk show. They actually, that was like the first episode of that, which was just cheesy. But then they changed studios, became more serious, and that was the one where it was like, well, not serious, but it was like, it's an action cartoon, and the goofiness is not intentionally hokey. So,
yeah.
There are two versions of it. I like the latter more. So, yeah.
And then the 90s Spider-Man cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in the same vein as the X-Men cartoon.
AKA Spider-Man can't punch people.
That's my problem with it. Yeah. Like, literally, watch the entire show. He has to throw somebody and let someone else get punched. But he doesn't actually fight.
It's all about misdirection, man.
He'll do a dropkick, but...
It's really lazy.
Yeah. Well, like...
The punching thing was because they didn't want kids, encourage kids to punch each other. But,
wrestling and, you know, a bunch of other stuff.
So, of course,
Spider-Man making want to punch people. They have Power Rangers. That's a bad enough influence.
And then, like, as someone who's, like, I want to say not gifted, but has a degree in the Spider-Man lore, it's just so... Yes, PhD.
Oh, PhD. Awesome.
Show it. That is a script.
With a piece of gum on it.
Well, I don't carry my PhDs with me.
Seriously. You always should.
That's how you pick up women.
It can be used at any time.
Well, anyway, yeah. It's something weird to watch. Especially, like, when, like, the whole The whole the way they tried to bring in certain bits of the Spider-Man canon, like the Clone Saga,
well, and then the Secret
War, those episodes were awesome. In the
and then like the way their version of the Black Cat, which
the Beyonder,
which the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
The Black Hat,
but Hoss.
And what's his name? I remember that episode really freaked me out. Was the one with what's a vampire's name?
Morbius, vampire.
Michael Morbius.
And then Blade showed up.
Then Blade showed up, and then
British.
And then there were buddies after a while with Black Cat. Like, I'll be.
Then they did that weird Captain America episode where he shows up, and it turns out the Red Skull's still around, and Electro is his son.
Electro's his son. So is Chameleon.
Whoa. Yes.
And the brother, I'm like, what?
They're Nazi brothers.
And what was that guy's name? Kingpin's confidant.
Oh, Alistair Smythe. Alistair.
Yeah.
I love.
In his chair.
Yeah. Well, no. For a while, he's like, because Norman. Norman Osborn killed his father.
That was when we started. I was still wondering at that period of time how Norman had those waves.
Cornrows. What are you going to do?
Sideways cornrows.
But like,
strawberry.
I did. Strawberry. I did like the crossovers. The Spider-Man.
Wait, the Spider-Man one was the one that brought everything together.
Daredevil showed up as his attorney when
I remember that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Even though he even said like, yes, I can see who you are on your mask, but I've chosen not to.
First time I ever encountered the symbiote suit Spider-Man.
Fair enough.
Awesome. That was the first time I had to explain the symbiote without Secret Wars, which they ended up doing later anyway.
Yeah, so there we are. I did like the X-Men crossover.
Because Spider-Man just showed up in the X-Mansion and they fight for no reason.
I did remember like after Storm was like, power of lightning strike again.
Get him.
And then Spider-Man is like, power of web fluid, get real sticky. That's what that's the jokiness I like.
The people that wrote.
My only problem with Spider-Man, like when Peter Parker took off the mask and I looked at him, he didn't look white to me.
You didn't think so?
No, he didn't look white. He had this really weird.
Look Mexican?
Like, I don't know. He had this really weird dark skin tone compared to everyone else. Like, it was still Caucasian, but it was like this darker skin tone.
He was just too huge, though. Like, everyone.
Yeah, he was like Tom Welling. Like, he's crazy. Big for Spider-Man.
Does that show even have an ending?
No, the last episode was like basically like, it's the secret is the one where they talk where he goes where he's with Madame Web and the Beyonder. They close on the Secret Wars.
Oh man!
And they go with the whole like he meets all the alternative Spider-Men, and then it goes with and it's like let's go find Mary Jane, and he's like amen to that, dear lady, amen to that. That's how it ends.
Really?
We never actually
that was the last episode.
That was the last episode because we never actually got like because you know what. Mary Jane fell through a portal that was created by a generator.
After she'd been walking around as a clone for a couple episodes.
A clone made by in the vein of
Hydro
Man.
Hey, that was their version of Brand New Day.
Yeah.
This podcast is over.
way to go, jerk. And it's like...
I actually liked that Mary Jane.
The Hydro Man one?
Mary Jane from that show.
I mean, at least they got the intro. They introduced
her. She's very supportive.
At least they introduced her properly. The whole, like... Face it, Tiger. You hit the jackpot, and it's just like a quick second at the end of the episode. He's like, and I like that. I like that. So,
and then I mean, I don't recall. I only learned about this Wildcat show after the fact. But if you don't know, Jim Lee after the whole Image, after the whole Image creation, all the founders made their own properties, and two of the properties that came out were, I want to say Eric Larson's Savage Dragon and Jim Lee's Wildcats.
Me no know.
Also, Tom McFarlane Spawn. And at some point, all three of those.
I didn't have HBOs. I didn't have cable, so I didn't even know about. Like, I saw videos of the Spawn thing at Blockbuster, but my mom wouldn't let me rent them, so.
All I know about the Spawn show, because I got the same thing, like, I didn't watch it HBO at the time, like, that it was award winning.
It was.
But based on I see it, from what I've seen, I really don't get why. Other than like, it's a cartoon and they curse sometimes, and there's some devil imagery. I'm like, yeah, maybe like today.
Apparently, there were boobs.
Yeah,
cartoon boobs.
There's some nudity in there, but it's just like everyone I've talked to about it, it's just like, yeah, people really like they're just like it doesn't hold up at all, and like it really wasn't that good back then. It's not that good anymore. So that's what everyone has said about it. So. Maybe if I was someone who actually watched it actively, I could probably remember it better.
But there are a lot of things that won awards don't stand the test of time that well.
We're not going to talk about that, but...
Norbit.
Oh,
what? No, I'm kidding. Oh. Norbit.
Wildcat show. I really wish I had watched that at the time.
I barely remember that.
Honestly, when I saw Wildcats on the script, I thought you typoed SWAT cats.
That's a hell of a title.
That's another podcast.
Yeah. Think this is crud one episode.
So I was like, what did these Wildcats used to be?
And then I guess in the last two series that go into that whole Marvel canon thing that they were working on in the early 90s were the Incredible Hulk show, which I actually really enjoyed.
Never saw it.
Well, okay.
Creep Summer, She-Hulk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The hotness. Like, I don't know why. It's like, because Creep Summer is based on the Black Horse.
It's funny, like, it was a traditional Incredible Hulk show, and then halfway through it, we got...
Everyone was a Hulk.
Yeah, everyone was a Hulk, and it was Hulk and She-Hulk just running around,
and then,
like, the world.
And then,
oh, wait, I actually did see that.
And then 90210's as Teen Hulk, as the Teen Hulk.
No, Rick Jones.
He was Rick Jones, but eventually became the Teen Hulk. And that's, at which point, and he could control it. I was just like, what? Why is Luke Perry in this? Luke Perry.
Yeah.
I didn't see much of the show, but I do remember seeing it.
I watched it, and I was like, okay, yeah. I watched for, like, you know, just for the leader to say his line. So says the leader. Who's that voice actor? I
have no idea, but he was doing a really bad Cobra Commander impersonation.
That's what it was. Gargoyle was a little troll in there. I watched it. And I was just like, every episode is just like, he's not going to get healed.
Yeah. And then as well, there was the Silver Surfer series.
Okay. That was terrible.
Which I had no recollection of.
That was funny. I had no
idea that existed.
It was hilarious.
Hilariously bad.
The animation was awful. It was really, like, We'll get to that later. The animation was just terrible in that show. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a reason it only lasted, like, what, 5 episodes or something like that? Like, it only lasted 2 seasons.
Well, that explains why I've never seen that.
And then, I mean, towards the tail end of the 90s, we got two more cartoon shows, comic shows. One was the first attempt to make an Avengers show, which was Avengers, The Avengers United We Stand. My problem with... Okay, there were a lot of problems with the show. Yeah. Biggest one was they couldn't use Iron Man, Captain America, or Thor. So we had an Avengers team of Hawkeye, Ant-Man, the Wasp, Tigra, Wonder Man, Vision, the Falcon.
Ew.
It was essentially just the West Coast Avengers.
Yeah, it's kind of their B team.
And they all had armor.
Yeah, they all had armor. And
extremist suits.
Even Tigra had armor.
Even Tigra had armor. And I was like...
why couldn't they use Captain America?
I have no idea. I just think it was like those characters showed up.
He showed up.
They actually did.
Yeah, they weren't mainstays.
Like, remember, hey guys,
I just remember Avengers being on because at least at the time, it was like when Spider-Man had just wrapped up and they introduced Spider-Man Unlimited, and so that was like the new lead-in, and because Spider-Man the older 90s series didn't have an ending, I was just like, I didn't even bother to watch Spider-Man Unlimited, so I didn't like the lead-in, so I just never got around to watching Avengers. So.
I just remember Spider-Man Unlimited having a really cool theme song.
Well,
what you gonna do?
Act a fool.
And then the other one, which is probably my favorite show, comic cartoon of that period, is The Big Guy.
And Rusty.
Yes. Big Guy and Rusty was awesome. I wish Josiah was here, because
it's in that same vein as the Men in Black series of the 90s.
Yeah.
And it was it was like,
Well, it wasn't that big of a book.
It was like a one shot by Frank Miller and Jeff Darrow.
It wasn't that big of a deal, but it caught fire as.
And I think that was like in the early days when people started taking notice of Frank Miller as a creator.
Yeah,
and so it got created. And like the Big Guy and Rusty was essentially a show. I mean, was a show about a giant robot who fought aliens and whatever threat came to the United States
in the 50s.
But
it wasn't really a robot.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was a guy in a robot suit.
It was a tank. Yeah. So
when they eventually replaced him with an actual working robot,
which was designed as a boy for some reason.
What's the problem?
Was Rusty kind of a throwback to
Astro Boy? Yeah, that was the point.
Definitely. Okay.
It was Frank Miller's ode to a Gigantor and Astro Boy.
The
pointy hair, the
big guy looked exactly like Gigantor.
Well, what I loved about Big Guy and Rusty is that the Big Guy was so painfully patriotic that literally he was like, here's some apple pie.
It's like,
he had the best one-liners ever.
Welcome to KingdomCome.com. What? When they went to the computer, I'm like, what? I don't even know.
That also made me realize how much I actually loved kind of old-style look. Like
the nostalgia of it.
I love that.
The interesting anything about Big Guy and Rusty.
Not steampunk, but like... No. Because their designs... Like,
not really.
It's more just a... It's more
retro
just,
future.
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing, what I liked about Big Guy was set it apart is that it was still written as a cartoon for children, but it was the first of that generation which didn't decide to, I guess...
Dumb it down.
Make the almost treat the audience like they're stupid.
Well, yeah, like, well, the other ones, like the X-Men cartoons and everything, they were fine for what they were doing, but they still tried to keep this family-friendly, oh, we're for children, so Spider-Man can't punch anyone in the face. Big Guy would blatantly rip off someone's legs and beat them.
Yeah, they're gonna be aliens, and Rusty was using nuclear protons.
Yes.
Yep. They were actually using
radiation.
Military fuck-shit-up weapons.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, and that is... I
rewatched like the first 5 episodes of the show recently, yeah. And like you'd be surprised how big of a dick Big Guy was to Rusty really early.
He really was. Granted, like he did try to kind of retire him or whatever like that. But I didn't like the what was that group, the Deus Ex Machina.
Well, the problem with Big Guy and Rusty is that they had an ambitious plot for the series that they didn't get to utilize because the show got canceled.
It ends in a cliffhanger. It's like...
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, like, there's Deus Ex Machina, and they're supposed to fight, like, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Number, they all have numbers.
They all have numbers, and then, like, they defeated all of them, but it's revealed that there's one more.
It's like, what? Yes, we defeated 6, including Dr. Reception, so that's like 6, but I created 7. It's like dun, dun, dun.
It's like how the first season of Big O ended.
Big O.
I blame Cartoon Network for that bullshit.
Yeah. Why did it get canceled, though?
I guess it was. I think it's a Fox cartoon, and
well, yeah, nothing really lasts that long.
And
with Fox.
I don't think it was the most popular show on that. Like with Men in Black,
that's true. Because
Men in Black lasted so long because they had the franchise brand of Men in Black.
Malibu Comics is not a big.
See, if Will Smith would have been involved, with Big Guy and Rusty would have lasted.
I just remember.
I remember. I loved Big Guy and Rusty, and Josiah loved Big Guy and Rusty, but I didn't really hear a whole bunch of other people talking about it.
Well, I mean, there was no internet, so the only people you were talking to were like, your kids in class.
No, kids in class, but nobody was really talking about it. Like, it was just kind
of
like...
Because of the aesthetic and for what they were trying to do, I guess it wasn't popular.
It's one of those.
It's
like,
kind of like the Captain America movie is today.
Hey.
How people aren't, like, really into that whole... Oh, good old boy sensibility.
I don't know about all that. It's more like with Big Guy and Rusty, it's just like, you know what? It was kind of circumstances that it got picked up. It's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Really? It was that popular is astounding to people. Because the comic books, even though we can talk about that.
Okay, heads up. The reason we're not talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, even though they're a comic book cartoon.
And it's pre the 2000s.
Is because that's something for another episode. They're a big enough franchise to tackle another episode.
Yeah, we have a TMNT episode.
There have been so many versions of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and so many iterations. Yeah. But it's like, as a comic book, the reason that it was popular is only a matter of it came up at an exact right time for it to actually work and for it to be as popular as it was. There's no reason. It's because it wasn't that good.
Are those turtles with weapons? Oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, I mean, this was our classic comic cartoon episode. I mean, it wasn't as meaty as a lot of our others because a lot of the things we're talking about was based on nostalgia, so you're only going to get quick anecdotes on a lot of the things.
A lot of stuff that
we didn't see or don't have any real memory of.
Yeah.
So we apologize if this is sort of a weaker episode.
Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah. So I'm going to plug your next 5 episodes in advance so you can look forward for something. 043, if I'm talking about Square Enix.
Squeenix.
The company that built the Juggernaut that is Final Fantasy and the other games that they make.
What other games?
You'd be surprised.
I know, okay.
And then 044 is us talking about Ultimate Comics. Marvel's attempt to appeal to a newer generation.
Oh,
you're
some black guy now?
One reason we're talking about that at the time is because it's going to be in lieu of the giant reboot. So if you really want to get into the new Ultimate paradigm, some a primer for you. Yeah. 045 is us talking about summer movies.
It's actually been a good summer.
Yeah, very good summer.
It's going to be our 1 year anniversary because our first episode was us talking about summer movies.
So summer movies do.
We're not doing anything.
Yeah. I need to start watching movies again.
It's all I've been doing.
Yeah, you need to get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
046 is us talking about comedy. Okay.
Wow. Clearly, we don't know anything about that.
We realize that comedy is another genre.
Speak for yourself.
We just realized that comedy is another genre of pop culture that we've actually ignored for a little bit.
Are we focusing on, like, stand-up comedy?
Comedy in general. It's like our original episodes, which aren't that good. No one's listening to them. It's going to be a general primer.
Except this one won't be 3 hours long.
It will actually be good. It will be us talking about what we think of stand-up comedy. And
our first episode was pretty good.
Yeah, and the pop culture aspect of it.
Word.
Yeah. And then 047 is this one goes out to you, Osmond. I know you. I promised you this a long time ago. It's us talking about Toonami.
Oh, yeah.
Midnight Run.
That's going to be a good one.
And the fall of a generation.
Oh.
Yep. Tom died. So did my childhood.
No.
I don't think he died.
He's dead.
Okay. He went on a mission.
He's dead to me.
They're all dead.
Every one of them.
To me.
You.
For now.
Plug a show. Now, who was that pointing to? Damn it, I was trying to make a joke about who was that pointing to.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So, we have the Tumblr, pcplovesanonymous.tumblr.com. We also linked up to the iTunes. Just check for Chagall's name. The email, welovepcp@yahoo.com. For anybody that's too lazy to send emails, we have the Facebook page, Pop Culture Podcast. Like us, comment, message.
Yes!
Yeah.
Here's a message. Crime is wrong.
What? Wait, you were laughing the last time we actually did one of those? It's like, well, stealing's
okay.
Bad.
Okay.
Stealing's bad.
Crime is wrong if you hurt somebody.
Well, I mean, if you steal someone's movie, it might be hurting somebody.
They're still getting $1 million because of the movie.
You know you can actually download a car?
What?
There's a file online, this car. It's like 675 terabytes or something like that.
God.
So
you need a Yoda bite for that.
No, I think it's like 6 terabytes.
That's my dream, to have like a giant hard drive.
A Yoda bite?
I guess so.
You won't be like Lane.
What?
check the anime. And we have the Twitter.
That don't have an engine.
We love PCP. And
you want to plug the WordPress right now? I guess we got to now.
I guess so.
Yes. Look us up. We are in the
beginning stages
of composing our website. Look up the template at popculturepodcast.wordpress.com. There you can see the general look of it. Just kind of tell us what features you want added and what you feel is missing, things like that. Just tell us what is it you'd like in the pop culture.
And go check us out at Spill.
And look forward when we get the website. I guess
up and running
for, I guess, articles from us.
Journalism.
Real journalism.
And naked pictures.
What?
Whoa.
Yes.
I'll be doing one in a Burt Reynolds pose with some Fig Newtons.
You don't have any mustache. However, if you'd like
I can grow one.
However, if you'd like more nude pictures, check out Joey's Tumblr, apparently. He's got nothing. Seriously. Is anything on his Tumblr that isn't sex related?
A lot of people post on his dash. He can't do anything about it.
I'm just saying. And
what the hell are we talking about?
I have no idea. We should probably wrap up the episode.
Yeah.
My name is David Williams. This has been episode 042. Us talking about classic comic cartoons. I'm signing out for the rest of the boys at the PCP Brownstone. This guy. Moving on.
Yay!
There's thunderclaps in the back. Where's your dog? Is it percolating somewhere?
Oh, Cerberus?
No one needs to know that.